Today we have the great blessing to speak with His Eminence Makarios of Kenya. Your Eminence, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be your guest today.
Very good. What brought you to the United States, Your Eminence?
Okay, I was invited by the team Chicago for their annual dinner, actually, which they are having every year for the last 18 years, to give the keynote address to the supporters and the friends of the missionary activities, not only in Kenya, but also in other parts of the world. So I was able, actually, to give my message to the people, and I hope the rest of my days, anyway, 2-3 more days I will be around here in Florida, I will be able to give more information about our work and activities in Kenya.
Well, we'd love to have you in Fort Lauderdale. You're about 5 hours north of us, but maybe your next trip, Your Eminence, you can come to us as well.
I hope and pray that I would be able to travel, actually, to your area. My last visit to this place, anyway, in Florida, was 35 years ago.
Oh, actually. My goodness.
Yes.
Let me ask this, Your Eminence. It's a personal question, and I hope you don't mind my asking it, but where are you from? Where were you born?
Okay, originally myself, I was born in Cyprus.
In Cyprus.
In Limassol. And after my military service, which is compulsory there, mm-hmm. I left the island and I went to England to study music.
Amazing.
I wanted to become a musician, mm-hmm. you see. And in England, I was looking for a spiritual father, and finally I was introduced to the then unknown Father Sophroni Zakharov,
oh my.
The spiritual son of Saint Silvanos the Athonite.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually going to the monastery every weekend, and Father Sophroni became my spiritual father. And at one point, when he was preparing to send his monks to go and study theology in Paris at St. Sergius Russian Theological Institute, he invited me also to go with them, which I did. And from there, I had a lot of plans under, of course, the guidance of my spiritual father. I followed all his instructions. I was able to go to Oxford to do my PhD. And then another bishop came in my mind to become a professor. And when the late Archbishop Makarios of Cyprus approached me and requested me to go to Kenya to open the seminary, I went to my spiritual father to see what was his opinion. And immediately Father Sophronius told me that, go to Africa. I bless you. Africa is your new home. So that is why decided to go to Africa, and I'm there for the last 35 years.
It's an amazing story, Your Eminence.
Briefly now.
Yes, briefly.
Yes.
Well, you have been Archbishop of Kenya now for 14 years, if my facts are correct. And from what I've been told and seen, there has been amazing growth in the mission field. How many parishes, priests, bishops now are under your care?
Okay, let me go back to history. You know, I arrived in Kenya myself as a lay person. Actually, I have come to the place known as Makarios Seminary III, and I was teaching there, and then I became the assistant bishop to the Metropolitans of Kenya, and I was consecrated Bishop of Riruta, 1992-1997, and then I was elected Archbishop in Zimbabwe, 1998-2001, when I was given again the chance to come back to Kenya and work now as the Archbishop, very correctly since the year 2001. I can say that the work which we have actually done all these years, I can say it is a miracle, because I was able to, together with my co-workers and collaborators, to establish more than 300 Orthodox centers in the whole of the Republic of Kenya. We have actually new areas like the Maasais, the Kisis, the Turkanas, and in some areas like Lamu, which is also a new area where we were able, with the assistance, of course, of the OCMC, to construct the first Orthodox Church in that area. And at the same time, we emphasize very much the importance of education. That is why today, as I'm talking to you, we are having more than 30 primary schools, more than 18 secondary schools, also clinics, orphanages, and then we have the program, feeding program, whereby we are giving breakfast and lunch to about 15,000 children in the remote areas, especially through the assistance of our brothers and sisters from not only from America but also from other parts of the world.
And when you give these folks, these young people, their meals, is that on a weekly basis, a daily basis? How does that work?
It works on a daily basis, yes, from Monday to Friday, actually.
It's amazing.
From Monday to Friday. It is one of the, although we have a financial crisis today in everywhere, mm-hmm. Especially in those countries where we have been receiving our assistance, mostly from Greece and Cyprus, but still those foundations, organizations which are assisting us, they are still insisting, and they are able to continue the feeding program, because the reason why this program is there, it is because one day I realized that the children in Kenya are sleeping hungry, drinking only water before they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That is why slowly by slowly we began a program in our seminary for the children around us there, around the area. And we were having actually at first 300 children coming every day just to take two slices of bread and a drink, you
know. It's
amazing.
It's amazing.
Because of the situation which we were. But slowly by slowly, when the people were coming and we were taking them to see how we are trying to assist the children, then we began a program, and we were saying with 20 euros per month, we can feed, we can educate one child. So this is how we started this program of feeding and educating the children.
Okay. Truly, what you've said is a miracle. And I was anatrichiasm, as they say in Greek. My hair is raised, yes, on my arms, thinking about the miracles that are happening and the young people that are being fed, both yes, physically but also spiritually, from these schools.
It is true that, of course, we are not assisting the children only, let us say, financially, let us say, to give them a meal, but mm-hmm. because, you know, in each and every primary school or in each and every secondary school, there is an Orthodox church. Mm-hmm. And in that church, according to the program of the Ministry of Education in Kenya, children are actually invited once per week, or every Thursday, to attend the Divine Liturgy, which is celebrated there by our priest, parish priest, and then also to listen to his sermon. And we have many, many cases whereby people, young children, who were not baptized and they knew nothing about Orthodoxy in some of those areas, today they are priests because of that program, because they showed so much interest, you know, they were interested to know more about our faith. They were impressed by the Divine Liturgy, and then at the end of their secondary education, they were actually joining the seminary. Mm-hmm. And today, they are the best ambassadors of our faith in those areas.
It's tremendous. Let's go for a minute. Recently was featured a story of the ordination of His Grace Neophytos. This is an indigenous clergyman.
Yes.
What does this mean for the church in Kenya to have now an African bishop?
Yes, you see, actually I have to say that many years ago the Patriarchate of Alexandria decided to ordain, actually in the year 1973, to invite indigenous people to become bishops. So there were three, actually, African bishops in those days. One of them was in Kenya, Bishop George Gaduna, with the title the Bishop of Nitria. And as you understand, myself, as the Archbishop in Kenya, having all these clergymen and all these schools and whatever, it was not possible to fulfill my duties. That is why the Holy Synod, at my recommendation, they decided to ordain one African bishop, Bishop Neophytos of Nitria, mm-hmm. who is having actually the same title like the first one, Bishop George. So Bishop Neophytos is working with me, and he is assisting my work.
But let me ask you this, Your Eminence, because this is a very unique continent that we're dealing with. Those of us in the States, I don't think, can honestly really conceive of what's going on there. So let me ask you this very important question, because obviously the Holy Spirit is moving there. What has Your Eminence found to be the most effective way to start new Orthodox communities in Kenya?
Yes. Okay, this is a good question. And, you know, ourselves, we are not actually using methods of proselytism, but we are using methods of evangelism. The other denominations and the other faiths like very much to do proselytism. In our Orthodox spirituality and ethos, this one is not permitted. Mm-hmm. So ourselves, we are actually working in this way. Come and see. When they invite us, and usually this is the case in the areas which I mentioned before, the Turkanas, the Masais, the Kisis, they learn somewhere about Orthodoxy. So they invite us, we go there, we meet them, and at the end of the day, when I see that they are serious about their search, I invite them to choose one person, one young man from their community to come, unbaptized, of course, to come to the seminary, and then to be catechized by the seminarians, and finally baptize him. And then, by the grace of God, I don't know how to explain it, in all these cases, the first people who are chosen to come to the seminary, today they are the first priests who are serving in those areas. And this is a miracle to me, because they themselves, of course, when they were choosing the candidates, I am sure they were not aware what will happen to them. The same way for us. We are not aware what will happen to the people who are coming to join the seminary, unbaptized now.
Unbaptized, yeah.
And finally, we have seen this miracle, and it is happening all over by the grace of God.
Your Eminence.
And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I say this because I believe that we are not actually the ones who are leading the church, but we are in the hands of God. And the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing our activities.
I just want to go in for a moment because I served for many years as the director and then dean of admissions of Hellenic College Holy Cross. And I remember going around the country and we would talk to young people about becoming a priest. But these were Orthodox Christians. These were people who were baptized in the faith,
yes,
within communities.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what you're saying is completely different. You would go to the tribe and you would say, okay, which one of these young men would you like to bring forward? Unbaptized.
Exactly.
Unbaptized.
Yes.
I want our listeners to hear that very, very clearly. And then
yes,
through the Holy Spirit, of course, and through the efforts of the priests and the bishops, these young men are now becoming priests and serving as indigenous clergy. That's a
yes,
miracle. That's a miracle.
Yes, it is actually. It is a miracle. That is why I say we cannot ourselves claim that we are the ones who are working, but the one who is doing the work on our behalf is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is always a plan by God.
Okay.
And God is the one who is planning for all these new areas where Orthodoxy today is so much flourishing, because in all the new areas where we have started, let us say, for the last 10 years, we have a good number of parishes and also a good number of priests,
mm-hmm,
new priests, and they are all excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how come that, and they are primitive tribes actually,
right,
but they are there. And they are working seriously.
It's wonderful. Well, Makarios, the Third Seminary, is in Nairobi, as we said. Let's talk about a little bit about that education, training indigenous clergy. What are some of the difficulties that you have faced there?
Okay, it was not actually, because myself I was there from the very beginning, even before the opening of the seminary. When we received the first 10, yes, the first 10 students coming from different tribes. It was not easy, first of all, on my side, because I had no idea about the African cultures, you know, and also themselves, because of that tribalistic, anyway, let us say, spirit, which is there always, among the African tribes, it took us time to understand one another and then to adapt, you know, ourselves with the new situations. People staying together, and you know, in the seminary, we are actually following a monastic way of life, because we are having our services in the morning, all of us in the evening, and then we are eating together, then we go to the class, and so on. So, which means that we are 24 hours, you know, together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And really, and especially the best time in the seminary is the evening time before apodipnon, during the meal, evening meal. It is the time when myself, I sit with the students, and then we have open discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, the students are asking questions up to this day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is in this way. And I realize that it is another university, actually, that time when every night the students are free to speak, to open their hearts and then to ask questions about not only about the lessons, but also about our lives and the future of Orthodoxy in Africa, because, you know, in the seminary, we are actually having students from so many different African nations.
Sure. That's quite a blend to put them together. The church in Kenya has partnered with faithful literally around the world, including North America, through the OCMC, the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, which, as you know, is a fellow agency of the Assembly of Canonical Bishops in the United States. And
yes,
this organization, of course, has sent wonderful mission teams, long-term missionaries. What impact do those who answer the call to missions have in a place like Kenya?
Okay, it is actually a very wonderful effort on the side of the OCMC to send those interested in missions to come to Kenya. I'm talking now about Kenya. And we have seen also that those who are coming, actually, sometimes they are coming for a few days, sometimes they are coming for years, and we still have them. They are there, they are coming, they are going. I feel that they are actually becoming, at the end of the day, our best ambassadors. Because it is different when you read about missions, when you hear about missions, but when you come and you really, you have your personal experience there in Kenya, it is different. And this is, I think, a very precious item which we should all of us have in mind. It is better to come and see and then to go out and propagate that really something it is going on in the field. And we need a lot of support, and really people are assisting us so much through the OCMC, and I hope and pray that they will continue.
One final question for you, Your Eminence. You've been wonderful to take this much time with us on your brief trip to the United States. What are the immediate needs in Kenya, and what's the best way for people to be a part of missions of the church in Kenya?
First of all, I can say that we need a lot of prayers. You know, this mm-hmm. is my answer. Because really the work is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that people who are not able to come and assist us in person, even financially from far, we need their prayers. Mm-hmm. Because prayers are needed for us who are there, and we are actually working. We have decided to dedicate ourselves as long as we are alive to give our services and to take the good news to the people, especially to the remote areas and to the primitive areas of Kenya. So we need a lot of prayers. Then definitely to do all this work, you know, the seminary, the teachers' college, the orphanages, the feeding programs, the schools, the construction of so many churches. Myself, you know, since I became a bishop, I have consecrated 150 churches.
My goodness.
So we need a lot of money, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
We need people to support us.
Okay.
And I hope and pray that our Orthodox American friends here, they will continue to support because our work, it is not, of course, a personal work, but it is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. So we need a lot of prayers, and we need a lot of understanding and a lot of support.
Your Eminence, it truly was an honor to have you on our program today. We wish you many years, Ispolaiti Despota, And we ask you to continue to pray for us and to light candles in Africa for us, as we will light them here for you.
I will, and please do the same for us.
We will, Your Eminence.
In Africa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May God bless you. Goodbye.